So we come to the last talk in tonight's lung cancer series. And as you know, we love to hear from the patients about how they deal with their disease and essentially how they keep the faith and keep going. And we have such a patient tonight, Dr. Terry Tannenbaum. Is a woman who was diagnosed with lung cancer in January 2014. I said Dr. Tannenbaum because she is a physician. She's a specialist physician in public health. She obtained her medical degree, not at McGill, at the University of Calgary, but she came to do family medicine at McGill and specialize in public health at the University of Massachusetts, where she obtained a master's in public health. She spent quite some time working as the head of the health protection, deputy public health director, and as interim public health director. So she knows quite a bit about public health. She's an associate professor in the Faculty of Medicine here at McGill University, and she has a master's of management from McGill. And she's a recognized expert in public health tuberculosis control. And she was awarded the Queen's Jubilee Medal in 2002 for her contribution to public health. Please welcome Dr. Terry Tannenbaum.
Thank you. So I was diagnosed with lung cancer in January of 2014. That one's mine. Yeah, thanks. I was 61 at the time, and I considered myself to be in perfectly good health. And I always thought that I'd live to be 90, like so many of my relatives, my family. I was working full-time, and I just loved my job. I'm a public health physician, as you were told, and I was in charge of health protection at the Montreal Health Department at the time. This means I was in charge of things like HIV prevention, or tuberculosis control, or vaccination programs. My unit was also in charge of investigating outbreaks, and my childhood heroine had been Nancy Drew. So if any of you remember that, but this was then I finally had my experience to be a detective. I was happily married. I'm still happily married with two children. And, you know, we were reaching that point where we were starting to think about retirement, what we wanted to do next, what was the next phase in our life. Then during the year of 2013, I started just having some abnormal lab tests. I felt fine, but the doctor just couldn't explain these test results, and so she ordered a CT scan of my chest and abdomen. And then in January of 2014, I just developed an abscess in my foot. As soon as the abscess was diagnosed and drained, all the lab results came back to normal. So I thought this was the end of the story. But the CT scan happened to be booked the next day, and we decided I might as well go ahead and have it. I remember that the CT took place late in the afternoon, and I was walking down an empty corridor after the exam. I was with my husband, who's also a doctor, and he'd been sitting with the radiologist during the exam. So I looked at him and I said, well, I guess the CT's normal. It just never occurred to me that it would be anything but normal. And he said, no, there's something in your chest. And I just stopped short and I just stared at him. And that's the moment when my life changed. I went from being, you know, independent, a full-time physician, life was good, to becoming a full-time patient. And switching careers where now I had to see how I was going to keep myself alive. I was dependent on my healthcare team, on my family and my friends, and I felt like everything I treasured was just suddenly taken out from me. And my life now had to revolve around having cancer. We learned that the tumor wasn't operable, but it hadn't spread outside the chest cavity. Okay, I said, I'm very optimistic. We're going to beat this. I'm going to have chemotherapy. I'm going to have radiotherapy. And then maybe I'll be able to have surgery and be cured. And initially things went well. I felt fine. I felt absolutely fine. I tolerated the chemo and the radiation without any problems. I had wonderful family and friends who rallied around to take care of us, so we were really optimistic. But the plan to be cured didn't happen. The follow-up scan showed that the cancer had now spread to my liver and my brain. And now I had stage 4 lung cancer, and as you've seen, this is not something you want to have. So that was our second crisis, realizing that there wasn't going to be a cure. It made us feel like we were living suddenly in a different reality, and it was just out of sync of the world as we knew it. We were in a world that really only other families that have gone through this kind of illnesses, I think, can understand. Since then, having cancer is something that's just always with me. Wherever I go, it's like the monkey that's sitting on your shoulder. It's always there, it's always in my mind, and it doesn't go away. And it means there's no such thing as long-term planning now. You know, 3 months is a long time. A year is forever. It means to me that I probably won't be here for some of the life events that are so important to us, weddings, grandchildren, the things that we look forward to, and that I might be leaving the people I love the most before I'm ready to say goodbye. People ask me if I'm angry. I can't say that I feel angry that I have cancer. I feel sad. I feel sad because of things that I might be missing, that I really wanted to be here for. It's been nearly 2 years now, though, since my diagnosis. Excuse me. And my life has been much of a roller coaster. Initially, I had a lot of complications of the cancer. I had inflammation in my lung from the radiation and inflammation around the lining of my heart. I had a broken backbone, and I also had a lung clot to my leg, a blood clot in my leg, I mean, called a deep vein thrombosis. It was the winter of 2015 that was probably the hardest. I was having a lot of back pain that was found to be from a spinal fracture from the cancer. It needed to be surgically stabilized, and this was a long, painful ordeal. I'm still having physiotherapy from the CLSC. I also learned that I had spread to the brain, and I had to have something called whole brain radiotherapy. These were both very hard to go through, especially the whole brain radiotherapy. I lost my hair for the first time, and I suffered from an unbearable fatigue. Cancer-related fatigue is so disabling. It never occurred to me how disabling this would be. There were days when I couldn't get out of bed, and it was the only time, and the first time, that I felt depressed and really wondered if I wanted to go on, if this is what it meant. But you know, but I somehow managed to recover from each one of those events, including the fatigue and the depression. I can't say I'm as strong and as independent as I was before I got sick, but I can walk the hills in Westmount. I went back to work part-time, and I was dancing at my daughter's wedding, so... but we're also on a roller coaster every time we approach the next CT or the MRI to see whether the treatment's working. We become more and more anxious in the days preceding each test, and the anxiety just gets worse until we get to the results. And then if things are good, we get just immense relief. It's like another few months of feeling good. And the times that it's not been as good results, it's great anxiety and fear and wondering what's going to happen next. I'm fortunate in that my tumor has the ALK rearrangement. These were one of the things that we were talked about earlier. So that means that there's these drugs called ALK inhibitors that are available. What I don't think you mentioned is that they're also pills, so it means I don't have to go in for injections. And they're really relatively few side effects, some GI problems, but no hair loss and none of the really bad side effects of chemotherapy. And I had read about patients who were doing well after 3 years on the ALK inhibitors. So again, I said, okay, I can do this, you know, that's great. But in my case, that's not what happened. The first two of the ALK inhibitors each lasted a few months, and then I broke through and developed resistance. And this is, from what I've later read, pretty common that it only lasts a few months. I just started the third ALK inhibitor about 2 months ago. Once again, I feel great. It's taken by mouth. It has almost no side effects. My appetite's back. My energy's back. My hair's growing back. I really feel terrific. There's really nothing good about having cancer. But there have been numerous wonderful services available to cancer patients. And my husband and I have taken advantage of them all. There's the staff at the Jewish General, the staff from the CLSC, the psychiatry services, palliative care, and our rabbi. And we rely on our providers, not only for their expertise, but also for their empathy and understanding of what we're going through. They really helped us when it came to talking to our family. Talking to family and friends about cancer is very difficult, but we felt like it had to be done. That otherwise, it was like having the elephant in the room. And so having them guide us through this has been really helpful. I also have a community support group of other lung cancer patients. And some of them are here this evening. I really welcome their presence tonight. And as much as my family and friends have tried to help me, cancer is a lonely disease. This community has been very important because nobody except other cancer patients really understand what we're going through. I asked some of these patients if there was anything they wanted me to say tonight. And what they talked about was the stigma around lung cancer. When I tell people I have lung cancer, inevitably the comment is, but you don't smoke. You know, nobody deserves to have lung cancer, whether they smoked or not. And no one should have to feel ashamed of such a terrible illness. And why doesn't lung cancer receive its own share of research funding? Why don't we see walks for lung cancer like we do for breast cancer? And why don't we see a lot of people wearing green ribbons? You know, how many of you even knew that November was lung cancer month? It's the leading cause of death, as Dr. Agalnik said, from cancer for men and women in Canada. And there has to be more funding for lung cancer. I'm lucky because I'm benefiting from the advances in the cancer treatment. There are many more patients out there who don't even have access to testing, never mind to the drugs. I'm currently on a treatment that's keeping the cancer from spreading. I don't know whether this is going to last for 3 months or hopefully for a few years. But the public forum series is called Fighting Cancer with Knowledge and Hope. What's giving us hope is knowing that there are other drugs that we can take, that we're never really at the end of the line. And this is what we need to hear, the lung cancer patients, that there are drugs that are being developed. Lots of money is being spent to have those drugs so that we can all grow old. Thank you very much.